All right, good morning, everybody, again. Welcome to CFT Bristol. If this is your first time, it's great to have you. So this morning, I'm just going to bring a word to us. We're going to continue from kind of like where we left off last week. We've been looking at a series that I've called Living Life at Your Best. Living Life at Your Best. And the reason that we're doing this series called Living Life at Your Best is I mentioned that we don't want our lives to be like autopilot, where we wake up in the morning and we go about our normal daily chores, which is good. Maybe we go to work, we go to school, or we do whatever it is that we do. And at the end of the day, it's bedtime and we can't even remember what we've done during the day. One day passes, 1 week, 1 year, 5 years, so on and so forth. And we don't want to wake up one day 20 years from now and just imagine, where has my life gone, really? All the things that I planned to do, all the aspirations that I had, what happened to them? Where did it all go? And the other thing I mentioned is that it is easy to live life that way because everything out there is a bit tough. You've got the energy bills rising. You've got so many things happening. And we can focus so much on those things which form part of our everyday lives and forget to live life at our best. And I believe that God wants us to really experience the best the best of our lives. Again, this is not a motivational speaking where I'm saying, yes, you can make it. No, I'm not talking about all those motivational things. I'm just saying that God wants us to live our lives 100%. He doesn't want us to just go with the flow and not really do the things that we'd really like to do because life is so tough and we forget to do those things. So that's the background of this living life at our best. But today I'm going to focus on one topic today under this series. And what I'm going to focus on today is what I've called seeing yourself as God sees you. Seeing yourself as God sees you. I'm going to read from a portion of scripture from Judges chapter 6 and verses 11 to 14. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. I'm going to read. And it goes, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied. 'But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" So the background to the story is this. Israel as a nation had experienced a lot of hardship, and it got to the point that there was even a shortage of food. So people were hiding their food in little, they call them like this chap, I think in a wine press, so that nobody would come and, share his food or take his food away. So things were really bad. And as he was there just minding his own business, and can you tell them that they shouldn't do all those noisy things so it doesn't distract me? Thank you. So everybody was just trying to live their lives as quietly as possible and as in a hidden way, so that it was like, look, I don't want to bother anyone. I don't want anybody to bother me. I'm just going to do my life simple, eat my food by myself so I can survive. And that was how life was for these guys. Life was extremely tough. And this angel appears to Gideon. And he says, The greeting he starts with is, "Mighty man of God," paraphrasing. And Gideon is like, "Hang on, I hope this angel has the right address here. Are you really talking to me? You must be talking about brother Mark. He's the mighty man of God. You must be talking about brother Dan, or you're talking about, he's definitely not talking about me. You cannot be referring to the right person here." And the angel begins to tell him that this is the plan that God has for you. God has said that you are going to save Israel and all these things. And as the angel began to tell him all these things, he looked at himself and he began to vocalize a number of points, which were valid points. He said, "Hang on. Number one, I'm the least in my family. Apart from that I'm the least in my family, my family is the least in is the poorest in the whole of Israel. And he began to list all these things. You might be like, "Come on, Gideon, you should have lived up to it. I mean, this was God talking to you. You should have been more positive about this." But the same thing applies to us sometimes, where we wake up in the morning and we come to a gathering like this, and I'm telling us what God says about us, or even I'm at home and I'm reading the Bible and God speaks certain things about me, and God says, "Oh, Pastor Benson, this is what I plan for you to do. These are the things that are going to happen." Or just the general things of life where God says to us, "You will have supernatural peace irrespective of what's happening around you. You will have supernatural joy. You're going to be the one that people will look up to when they're looking for Christ." And you say to yourself, "Hang on, definitely this thing that Pastor Benson is saying, or this thing that the Bible is saying, it doesn't really apply to me. I'm sad, I'm depressed, I'm this, I'm that." And like Gideon, we list out all these things. And we list out all these things because that's how things are in our life. So we're not lying. Gideon wasn't lying. He wasn't making excuses. That was what his life was like. He wasn't making excuses. So when we view ourselves as well and we're saying these things, we're not making excuses either. When we're saying, "God, man, I'm tired. God, I've been praying about this. Nothing has happened. God, how about this? How about that?" But we don't vocalize it sometimes, but it's in our hearts. So we speak these things to our heart. So what Gideon was saying here was they were all true. So he wasn't making up stuff. He was just really bringing it to God and saying, "God, this is how my life is. And I don't think my life can affect any life. There's nothing interesting. There's nothing about my life that can even make people want to become Christians. I'm just like every other person or worse." Do you understand? That was Gideon's scenario. And I believe that for a lot of us, maybe that's a scenario, but we don't vocalize it. Maybe there are areas of our lives that we're happy with, but there are areas of our lives that we're not really happy with. And God begins to say these things to us, that God is going to reach your neighbors through you. God is going to use you to encourage people around. I was like, "Man, I'm not even encouraged myself. How is that going to happen?" So that was the scenario that that Gideon was in. And like I said, maybe the scenario that a lot of us are in as well. But one interesting thing begins to happen, and I'll just highlight a number of points. After he said all these things, God didn't say, "Why are you complaining?" "Why are you complaining?" God didn't say that, mind you. He didn't say, "Suck it up and just, you know, get on with it and stop complaining so much." God didn't say that. God didn't say to him as well, "Oh, man, I can see you're going through all these things." God didn't say that either. God didn't say to him, "Oh, man, I think you're right. I'm just going to get somebody else to do the job. I think I made a mistake. I didn't know that, you know, all this was happening in your life. I didn't know that you had so many problems, and I think I'll pass. You're right. God didn't say that to him either. What did God say? What God said to him didn't really make much sense in that context. God did not respond to any of his feelings. God understood. But God said something to him. He said, I'm paraphrasing, I've heard you. However, go in this mighty strength of yours. Can you imagine? So imagine you came to me like, and you're like, oh, Pastor, I'm really, all this is going on with me. Man, I'm not quite sure I can. Oh, man, I'm so tired. I have all these things happening in my life. I don't even know if I can survive till the next, till tomorrow and all that. And I listen to you, right? And after you've said all that, maybe for about 2 hours, believe me, some people have spoken to me for 2 hours and I just listened. So 2 hours is not an exaggeration. It's not an exaggeration. And I listen. And after all that, I say, fantastic. You're the one that God's going to use to accomplish everything he wants to do. You're the one that God's going to use to encourage everyone around you to be strong. What will come to your mind? You probably will have thought, I'm not quite sure Pastor has been listening to me for the past 2 hours, you know. Why this response? So this brings me to the topic for today, and I'll make some points. Seeing yourself as God sees you. Seeing yourself as God sees you. So the summary of this thing was that God saw Gideon in a light that he didn't see himself in. When God looked at Gideon, he saw someone else apart from what Gideon saw. And the first thing I want to mention here is this. God does not see you and I through the lens that we see ourselves through a lot of the times. He doesn't see us in the lens that we see ourselves through. So I just want to make a number of points to us this morning. And I know that God will really help us to have that perspective. So God had to begin to do something in the life of Gideon. If you read on from after that portion of scripture that we read, God had to work on the perspective that Gideon had about himself before Gideon could actually fulfill the things that God said. And it's the same thing. God works on our own lives as well, on our minds, to say, look, even though you're thinking about yourself this way, even though you're thinking that you might not be able to do this, even though you're thinking, I want you to change your mind, because that is not the way I see you. That's not the way I see you. Do you understand? That is not the way I see you. So, bearing that in mind, the first thing I want to mention to us this morning, I have 3 points, then we will close. In terms of realizing what God really feels about us and what God really thinks about us, it's important because it will determine how we live our lives. Do you understand? So the first point I want to make is from Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And I'll read. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So the first point we see here that God is saying to us this morning is, it says God has a plan for each and every one of us. And he defines that plan. And the plan, what he's saying here is that, look, I have a plan to give you hope and a future. To give you hope and a future. So the first thing God begins to tell Gideon is, he begins to show him that you're not just a random guy I walked up to and I'm just saying these things to you. No, I have a plan for you, and that plan is to give you hope and a future. So that's the first point that God is making to us this morning, that wherever we are in our lives, we should remind ourselves that we're not just random. We're not just people that God has no interest in. You know, there are times you might be like, God probably has more important things to do. There's the war in Ukraine. Those guys need help. There is this. So, why would God bother himself with me? But God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 that we've read that, look, he is interested in you as an individual. And he's not just interested in you from a vague perspective. He's not saying, well, I'm interested in you, so be cool where you are. He's specific. He says, I have a plan for you. And that plan is to give you hope and a future. To give you hope and a future. So the first thing I want to mention this morning to us, looking at the story of Gideon and, you know, really speaking to us, is that God has a hope and a future for you that you're not aware of. Now, when I say God has a hope and a future for you, I'm not saying not necessarily anything grandiose. It's not like maybe, well, you're going to become the Prime Minister of England. You could if you wanted to. But I'm talking about a hope and a future for your everyday life. That when you wake up in the morning and you go to work or you do whatever it is that you do, God is saying, I am with you this morning. He's saying, I want you to be hopeful. So it's not in the big things in life, but in the everyday things we do, God says he has a hope and a future for us. So that was the first thing that he had to do with Gideon. He had to bring Gideon to the place that he was almost, he had to almost convince Gideon to begin to look at himself in a different light. That you're not a hopeless person, Gideon. You're not the depressed person, Gideon, even though you might be feeling a bit sad. You're not the one who doesn't want to wake up and get out of bed. You might be feeling that way, but I have a hope and a future for you. So that's the first thing I believe that God wants us to realize this morning. Now, the reason I'm saying this, and I believe the reason why God wants us to bear this in mind, is if you turn the news, turn on your news, turn on the news, just switch on your TV, what you'll be seeing, what you see on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, is, oh, this thing, this person has blown this person up, this person stabbed that person, this person is bad news all the time. And in the midst of bad news, there is the tendency that you might just throw your hands up and say, well, what's the point? I'm just going to survive. God doesn't want you to just survive. He wants you to be excited about life. He wants you to be happy with life. He wants you to be excited about the future. Do you understand? He doesn't want you and I just to go with the flow. Why? Because God's view for us and his perspective that is that he has hope for us, and he wants us to live in that hope that he has. Amen. So can you help me, do me a favor this morning, and just turn to the person who is sitting next to you and say, God has a good future for you. You know, if they gave you, do you know what I call it? Do you know what I call a British winter response? A British winter response is when it's winter and someone, and it's frosty and you're walking along the street and someone says hello to you and it's so cold and you're like, you're like, hello. Say, look, I don't want a British winter response. I want a British summer response. God, turn back to them and say, look, God has a hope and a future for you. I want a proper British summer response, please. Amen. All right. So that's the first point that God wants us to bear in mind. I have two more points. The second point is this, from Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11. It says, so this is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. The second point I want to make is this. God's plan for you can never change. Never. Irrespective of where you think you are in life, it can never change. The only person that can stop God's will from happening in your life is you. The devil cannot do it. Your friends cannot do it. Your whoever cannot stop or change God's life, God's plan for you. You're the only one that can do that. And God makes a statement here, a very categorical statement in Isaiah 55, 11. And he says, look, as God, the words that I have spoken, they cannot come back to me empty. They must accomplish what I have sent it for. So he was looking at Gideon, and in God's mind, he was like, Gideon, as far as I'm concerned, my plans for you have not changed. And some people will be like, man, it's quite late for me in life. I have, man, I just want to wake up and go to bed. It's just late for me, Pastor Benson. Let me be cool. Let me just take my life easy. I missed a number of opportunities last year, the year before. I mean, I should have done this when all my mates were doing this. But now that opportunity is gone, and I'm just going to just go with the flow. That was what Moses thought as well. At 40, Moses was so vibrant. He was like, you know, then he killed someone and he had to run away. No, that's fine. He killed someone and he had to run away because they were after him. Was a fugitive. His picture was all over CNN. Wanted. So he couldn't apply for a job. He had to go underground. If you walked into the store in Bristol here, you'd be like, hang on, isn't that guy we saw on CNN? He's wanted. Moses thought his life was finished. But God came to him when he was 80, 40 years later. And he said, Moses, what I said to you, or the plans I have for you, to give you a hope and a future, it still stands. What do you have to say? And Moses begins to say, oh my goodness, God. Are you talking to the right person? The same conversation. At one point said, God, you know, I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be rude here. You know, God, just let Brother Ugo do it. Let him go and open the church in France. I'm not interested at all. In fact, even if I were interested, I can't even speak. Moses was saying, God. And God was looking at this guy, that, hang on, I'm the one that created you. So the second point I'm making is this. God's plan for you can never change. The plan he has to give you a hope and a future doesn't change. It cannot change because he says, as his words go, they must accomplish what he has sent it for. So God's plan is still there for you. You can still experience hope. You can still experience joy. You can still do the things that you thought you wanted to do. Your life can still be joyous, irrespective of where you are, irrespective of what you think you've missed, irrespective of what you think you have or don't have. It doesn't make a difference to God. Because he says, like he said to Gideon and he said to Moses, yeah, irrespective, my plan still stands for you. So I've said that, number one, God had to really work on Gideon the same way God works on us. You know? And he says, I have a plan for you. The second one is that God's plan never changes. Irrespective, it never changes. So this morning, the last point I want to make is from Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. God is asking you and I this morning to come to him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So the last thing he begins to say this morning is, the only thing that you and I have to do, God says, is just come to me and let me help you. That's what he's saying. He says, come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden. He's not saying, try harder. He's not saying, suck it up and be a grown up. He's not saying, you should know better. No, he's saying, just all I want you to do is to come to me. Let me help you. That's all he's saying. Let me help you. Give me all your burdens, all the things that are troubling you. Give them to me this morning. The same thing he told Gideon. All the things that you think are like really getting your life up, making your life upside down. Don't worry about those things. Bring them to me. Let me sort them out so that you can live a life that is not burdened by all the challenges that you think you have or that you actually have. Do you want to play for me? So this morning, I'm going to end here. So I've said, God needs us to see ourselves the way he sees us, so that we can begin to experience life the way God wants us to experience life. He says God has a plan for us. His plan doesn't change. And he's saying this morning, just come to me. So I'm going to ask that we just rise up this morning and pray. But if you can't rise and you need to sit, that's fine. You can sit if you're not able to stand. So this morning, can you just reduce the volume a bit and do strings so don't oscillate. So this morning, I just want us to pray. And it's a prayer between you and God. And it's just really pouring out your heart to God this morning. Say, God, I want to bring all my burdens to you this morning. Thank you for the plans that you have for me. Help me to begin to live the life of hope, the future of hope that you've given me, that I might not be able to see at this time. So we're just going to, let's just focus on God this morning. Father, this morning as your church, we just thank you. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. Father, we thank you for the plans, the purposes that you have for us. Thank you that you have said that you're going to give us hope, that you've given us hope. Thank you because you've given us a future already. Thank you because the future that you have for us, the hope that you've spoken concerning us, can never change. It still remains the same. And thank you that we can come to you just to like really hand over our burdens to you this morning. Father, as your church, we do so in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone that is here, and even for those that are not here, that are weary. For those that have things in their heart that they're not even really speaking out, but every night they know what it is that is really bothering them. You see. Father, I'm asking that for those individuals that you will bring comfort to their hearts in the name of Jesus. Father, for our family members, for our friends, for those who are so dear to our hearts, who we look at and we're like, my goodness, how is this person going to really make it in life? For those folks as well, we ask that you will extend your hope, that wherever they are, you will extend your message of hope, that you will remind them that you have a future for them as well, because their lives affect us. Father, I thank you. Father, I give you praise this morning. Father, we thank you. Father, I commit your church into your hands. I'm asking that for those that are here and even those that are close to our hearts, that you will strengthen them, that you will strengthen us, that you will give us the understanding of the type of life that you want to live, one that has purpose, one that is full of excitement and expectation, not just going through the motions. I'm asking that you give us this understanding and that you will help us to live that life.